You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking about alligators and how to manage them in North Carolina. With us today are two alligator experts. Alan Boynton of the Wildlife Resources Commission is also the chair of the newly formed Alligator Task Force. And Kirk Mante is a habitat ecologist specializing in coastal wetlands. The phone lines are open. If you have a question about alligators in North Carolina, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Alan Boynton, just before we went to break, we were talking about why the hunting proposal failed in North Carolina and why people hunt alligators in the first place. So what are the laws in North Carolina surrounding alligators? Are they a protected species? What is allowed? What is not?
Well, they are. The alligator is a threatened species in North Carolina due to similarity of appearance. And this is because many years ago, back in the late 60s, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal government, listed the alligator because of its sharp decline due to changes in habitat that people had caused and also unregulated hunting. So North Carolina has not allowed any alligator hunting since 1970. The alligator population responded well to protection and increased in many southern states and also increased in North Carolina. And so most states now have an alligator season. It's still closely regulated to sustain the species, but allow some use of alligators. But we haven't reinstituted a hunting season in North Carolina yet.
And you were explaining when you were getting comments on the proposal, on the hunting season proposal, that there were a lot of scientists who weighed in and said, we just don't know enough yet about how to manage this species sustainably. Why is that such a head-scratcher? For instance, if you're going to hunt an alligator in other states, does it make sense to kill the older, larger alligators to make room for younger ones? Or does it make sense to kill the younger ones so that the older alpha alligators are able to maintain their dominion in that particular realm? In other words, how do you approach this? Kirk Mante?
Well, that's a good question, and I would look for Alan's input on this too, but from what I understand about the species, over looking at it for about the last 20 years, in the northern end of the range, taking large, reproductively active individuals, large females especially, in areas where there's not a high population, could be a bit of a dicey proposition because, as Alan mentioned, it could be as long as a dozen, maybe even 20 years before you've got other individuals reaching maturity and laying eggs. So, you know, that's what the Wildlife Resource Commission is looking at closely to make sure they don't accidentally, you know, allow something that could cause a constriction in the range of alligators in the state.
Alan Boynton, what is the Alligator Task Force hoping to learn about this? What are the missing pieces for scientists from where you sit?
Well, when the commission decided to not adopt this proposal, they told our executive director to set up this task force, and the task force will do a very specific job, and that is to write an alligator management plan for the state. So this will not only consider the research that is needed, but some other things as well. But the research really is to get at exactly what the reproductive potential of alligators is in North Carolina. And we think it is very different in the southeastern portion of the state, New Hanover and Brunswick County, for example, than it is up in Carroll and Dare County at the northeastern end of the alligator nesting area. So we want to look at nests and see what the survival rate of young is, how quick they quickly they grow, and get a better idea of what the population is. And this is so that if we allow alligator harvest, we won't take too many reproductive individuals.
Do alligators continue to reproduce into their golden years? I mean, as long as they're alive, will they reproduce? Do you know?
I think so, although with many animals, including alligator, as they age, their reproductive performance may decline. But alligators are long-lived, so alligators can live 40 or 50 years. And the males get quite a bit larger than the females, so it is possible maybe to harvest larger alligators and therefore avoid many of the females.
Does temperature, climate, have anything to do with the gender of alligators and which gender tends to survive better or reproduce more rapidly? Kirk Mante?
Yeah, there actually is quite a difference in temperature, and one of the reasons that alligators build the nests they do is to buffer that temperature. And there, you know, there are instances, especially with long-term weather patterns during or medium-term weather patterns during nesting, when you may get an all-male or all-female nest. But generally speaking, just a few degrees of change inside the nesting area usually results in a mix of male and female offspring. But that's the big determinant, in fact, is the temperature of the nest. And so that's one reason why folks like Allen's group will use things like nest surveys to figure out, you know, the alligators build these big, essentially compost mounds to make sure that they have a well-regulated temperature. But you know, just a little bit of change gives you a diversity of genders in there.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the Alligator Task Force in North Carolina, where and how alligators live, and why we're still learning how to sustainably manage them. With us to answer your questions, Kirk Mante, habitat ecologist specializing in coastal wetlands, and Alan Boynton, Wildlife Diversity Program Officer with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. He's also the chair of the newly formed Alligator Task Force. We have an email from Craig who writes, I live near Greenfield Lake. And from what I understand, Greenfield Lake used to be a water park in the early 1900s. Were alligators introduced from people's pets, or did they migrate there from other parts of the waterways? Is it a safety factor if someone falls out of their canoe or kayak? What are the most, lots of questions, dangerous times? Would they ever try to eradicate them there? I know they've removed larger gators from the lake in the past. Greenfield Lake Park is an interesting place, and it's one of the few places in the city of Wilmington that people can actually go and eyeball an alligator.
Right.
Kirk Mante, do you know how alligators arrived at Greenfield Lake Park?
I don't know. I bet there's some interesting stories around there. What we see certainly in areas of South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, especially right after the species was protected, is that a lot of Americans, especially American kids and teenagers in these areas, still had pet alligators. And as you saw alligators return to these habitats, especially abandoned ponds, that kind of thing, those ponds, as I'm sure Alan deals with on a regular basis at the commission, they become repositories for all kinds of pet turtles, pet alligators, pet caimans, all kinds of interesting individuals. So, I mean, you'd actually have to know a lot about the DNA of that population to understand whether or not they were imported, you know, from Florida or whether they actually came here naturally or there's some mixing, which is probably the most likely scenario.
How many different kinds of alligators are there in North America? Do we know? Is it just the American alligator that we're talking about here? Or Alan Boynton, go ahead.
There are two species of crocodilian in North America, the American crocodile mm-hmm. and the American alligator. American crocodile is a more of a brackish or saltwater species that lives far to the south, and so it's found in southern Florida. It's an endangered species, and that is why the federal government has continued protection of the American alligator as threatened due to similarity of appearance, so they can regulate trade in alligator skins and meat and closely so that American crocodiles aren't also traded.
What are the observable differences between American alligators and crocodiles?
Well, I think one of the most visible one is the shape of the snout on a crocodile is pointed, whereas an alligator is more rounded and blunt. And there are also some differences in the coloration.
And is one more dangerous than the other to humans?
That I do not know. I'm not that familiar with the behavior of American crocodiles, but certainly American alligators can be dangerous to humans. Normally, they are very shy and avoid humans. We're really more of a danger to them, but when they are fed, when they lose their fear of people, then they end up in proximity to people because they don't, you know, swim away, and that can set up a situation where someone is hurt because alligators, although they look slow, when they're hunting, they can move very quickly.
We're talking about alligators in North Carolina with the chair of the newly formed Alligator Task Force, Alan Boynton. He's a wildlife diversity program officer with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. We also have Kirk Mante with us today, a habitat ecologist specializing in coastal wetlands. And if you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Other than Greenfield Lake Park, where in the Cape Fear region, and this is for either of you, where would people see alligators on a regular basis? Are we talking more Brunswick County, or do they show up in other places in the city of Wilmington? Where do we see them?
Oh, I believe New Hanover County and Brunswick in areas that are being developed that are close to wetland habitat, people have a good chance of seeing one at, like, golf courses and ponds on golf courses or in stormwater retention ponds associated with development. So these areas are attractive to alligators, and, of course, people are in that area, so that's a frequent interaction that people might have with alligators in that area.
You say alligators are shy, though, so do they pose a danger to humans, say, basking in the sun on a golf course, Kirk Mante?
I certainly say they could. It's very sometimes easy to be lulled into complacency with what looks to be a big, slow lizard, as Alan mentioned. But like most things in the world and with people and with nature, you don't know the history of any animal you may see. It may indeed be reactive to feeding or whatever else and may be very interested in coming and taking a look. The big thing that I see as a big risk, which Alan mentioned briefly, is the fact that a lot of these wetlands on the coastline, Florida's dealing with this very largely right now, is about 1,000 people are moving to Florida a month now, and you're seeing once again massive landscape change. You have very kind of marginal wetlands and marginal uplands, and when human beings develop this land, we tend to kind of convert those marginal wetlands into ponds, into wetlands that hold more water, and then the areas that are dry, we like to make really dry so they don't flood. And that, in fact, is a great combination for alligators. So, I mean, the interesting thing is we're kind of taking, in some cases, pretty marginal habitat and turning it into perfect habitat for alligators and then putting people on it. So I think there's reason to believe that we'll see a lot more kind of conflicts in the future, particularly in areas where people think it's a interesting or entertaining thing to do to feed the alligators. But in general, this is something that all of us are going to have to get used to a little bit more when we visit the coast, when we have visitors visit us at the coast. We really need to take some care to let folks know that that alligators are with us, and in fact, we've kind of enabled them to come along as part of our landscape. And so we need to recognize that they're, you know, they can be dangerous, and we never know with, you know, when the alligator's having a lazy day or when it's really hungry. So it's something to bear in mind for sure.
Alan Boynton, are you seeing more interactions between people and alligators in southeastern North Carolina than in years past?
Yes, and I think that's just due to the increasing population of people and the increasing development of rural areas, so that people are closer to alligators. And this is something that we've been concerned with for some time, and not just for the conservation of alligators, but in 2007, the North Carolina legislature passed a law making the feeding of alligators illegal. So it is unlawful to intentionally feed alligators outside of captivity.
Although we know that happens all the time.
It does. It's kind of human nature, to want to look at animals. People are very interested in all wildlife, including alligators. They want to get pictures of them. They want to see them. And they feel a need for some reason to take care of the alligator. Well, the alligators can take care of themselves. And it's when people get too close to alligators and alligators lose their fear of people and allow that approach that problems can occur.
How many known alligator attacks on humans do we have been recorded in North Carolina, Alan Boynton?
Well, I don't know of any serious incidents that resulted in severe injury or death. Certainly some people have been bitten on occasion, and this happens once every couple of years. So it's something that happens, and we've just been fortunate in that we haven't had an incident like happened in Florida earlier this year.
As you say, it's human nature to want to feed the wildlife, but you're saying, Alan Boynton, the North Carolina State Legislature had to pass a law, even though these are a federally protected species, there needed to be a state law to say, hey, feeding this species is illegal?
Yes.
Okay, and we've also heard there are resort communities like Baldhead Island, which is part of the North Carolina coast. There is, I believe, Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia, and they've started, I think, a class called Gatorology 101 to teach the public about why feeding alligators is really a bad idea, not just for their own safety. Kirk Mante, can you weigh in on that? What happens? What's the link when a person feeds an alligator? What does that create in the alligator?
Well, it's a very interesting question, and there's some biological processes that we don't totally understand because obviously we don't share language with alligators. But what we do know is Alan's kind of referred to that most alligators and most crocodilians in general don't consider human beings to be a source of food, the Nile crocodile being a notable exception. And so as we kind of make vague or cloudy what the alligator considers human beings to be, and it considers us to be really a competitor and as a result generally stays away. But when we provide it with food, it considers us a source of food, and they become at the very least, they become bold around us, and that's when you tend to see in areas like Florida and Louisiana, you see pets getting attacked and those kind of things, and children become a little bit at risk. And the more and more they get kind of confused about what their relationship with humans is supposed to be, as when you see more and more aggressive, a lot of people listening to the show today might have seen the picture earlier this year of, I guess it was about a 15-foot alligator walking across the golf course, I think, right in town here, right near the South Carolina border. And so they're here, and we need to make clear that relationship.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, talking about why North Carolina has recently formed an alligator task force, what we need to learn about these ancient creatures. After this 90-second break, we return for the final segment. We'll talk more about public safety, and it's your last chance to ask a question. 910-343-1138 is how you get in touch with us today, or coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline.